Hello, this is Meet the Writers and I'm Georgina Godwin. The show today was recorded at the Monocle Winter Weekender at Schloss Elmau in the Bavarian Alps. One of the key speakers at the event was a Swiss-German writer who's also the editor of Die Freitag, which was named as European Newspaper of the Year 2018, a man whose work we liked so much we had it translated from German to English and serialised under the title The Last Newspaper Reader in our seasonal paper. Michael Angele, welcome to Meet the Writers. Michael, your wonderful piece, The Last Newspaper Reader, was translated from German to English. It was read aloud for broadcast on this station. It was also serialised in our publication. And so it's fantastic to have you here, particularly because you are the editor of the European Newspaper of the Year 2018. It's called Der Freitag.
Yes, that's true. But now I want to speak about my book, isn't it?
But we start at that point where in fact you are a newspaper editor. Yes. And you have written about a newspaper reader. And you start the book by describing the ideal newspaper reader. Who is that person?
This person is me, but it's also a guy called Thomas Bernhard, who used to be a famous author in Austria. And there was one scene who made me thinking about my book. Thomas Bernhard was an enthusiastic reader of the Neue Zürcher Zeitung, which is a German newspaper, and he wanted to read an article about a piece of music by Mozart. He wanted to read a critic of that piece, which was given in Salzburg. So he was looking for a NZZ, you call it, the Neue Zürcher Zeitung, in his village, but he couldn't find. And then he took a car with another guy, and they went on and on, driving through the whole western part of Austria. He couldn't find an NZZ. He even went to Switzerland to find one. He didn't say if he found one, at least, but he made more than 300 kilometers to search a Neue Zürcher Zeitung. And that's, for me, some kind of ideal newspaper reader. Not the reader itself, but the passion.
You, in fact, call him an addict, a newspaper addict.
It's an addict, yes. It's an addict. It's like some drug addict. Mm. And I wanted to write a book about this kind of passion or addict, and not in the perspective of a publisher, but of a reader, and not even of a reader reading a newspaper, because sometimes the best newspaper reading is not reading a newspaper.
You say so at some point in the book it's just about having access to that paper.
Yes, it's not about content, it's not about reading newspaper from the beginning to the end. Sometimes it's about where do we read a newspaper. Huh? That's very important. Of course you read a newspaper in coffees. Thomas Bernhard, for example, was very famous to read the newspaper in old coffees of Vienna, but also where he lived, in Gmunden, and he only went to cafes who would have the Neue Zürcher Zeitung, otherwise he wouldn't go there, and such on. There are other places like the bathroom, for example, which is very important for a newspaper reading.
Although you also say that in the bathroom you're more likely to have a periodical.
Yes, that's right. You read my book, that's right. You have periodicals there, yes.
I love the way you say, actually, we don't really read periodicals at all, particularly Sunday supplements. They just sit in your bathroom and they sit next to the loo and nobody actually ever looks at them.
Yes, of course, only in the bathroom.
We can't talk about this without talking, of course, about the digital age and how that influences things. And you do talk about, your quote is, if there's something I really like, I rush to my laptop and I post it on Facebook, which is such a wonderful kind of juxtaposition of the two, the content of the print and then the method of getting it out there. The internet then, as you say, has kind of become the grand narrative of the world.
Yes, it's the grand narrative of the world on the one side. On the other side, the internet is not good for us readers, because it's immaterial. I can't make stories about the internet. I can't bring stories into the internet, yes, but I can't make stories out of it. So when I bring piece of newspaper in and post it on Instagram or more Facebook, then I bring some kind of real world into the internet. I did it yesterday, piece of the FAZ, because the FAZ was correcting a mistake, and he made a little note about correcting the mistake. It was very funny. I can't explain that now, but a lot of people liked that. So there is a big need of having some kind of materialism, even in the internet.
If all the information we need is on the internet anyway, why read papers? What's the point?
Because all the information is in the internet, I would say. If you have all the information and you just need one link and another link and the third link and the fourth link and so on, you have it all here, it's all present. So you need a world in which information is not just present. And a newspaper can't have all information, it's impossible. A newspaper will have maybe sometimes complete, you can't say that to all people, but a newspaper is not for give you information. It is for reading. And reading means something completely different than getting information. It means, for example, you discover something you didn't think about it. And good newspapers are chaotic, like the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung. If they're too formatted, in my opinion, a big tragedy that the newspapers who still exist are very formatted and very, you can't explore. Monocle is an exception, but most dailies aren't like this.
Talking about dailies, I wonder if the daily paper's disappearing because a day is no longer how we kind of regulate our flow of information.
They will disappear, and it's good so, because, okay, a day is a day, but it's not a measure for information, and it's not a measure for reading. And I talked about in my book about when do you read, or you think you will read later. That's the principle. And later can mean end of the day, but it often means weekend, Sunday. Not Saturday. Yes, Saturday you start, but mostly Sunday. But you haven't the time, even on Sunday. Then Sunday comes, you have too much to read, next Sunday, and so on, and so on. That's reading.
And you talk about that in the context of being on holiday as well, that actually yesterday's newspaper is the best proof that you're somewhere else.
Yes, exactly. I thought so. That was really some kind of Proustian epiphany when I noticed that it's no problem that the Süddeutsche Zeitung is not from today, but from yesterday. It's good like this.
Because it shows you somewhere else. It's not available.
Yes.
And in terms of saving up those periodicals and your Sunday papers and all the rest, as you say, you keep it the one Sunday, then it's the next week, then it's the next week. So you went on a trip with somebody with an extraordinary New Yorker habit.
Yes, that was really strange. He gave me a big suitcase because they would go by train, I guess, and we by car. So he said, you can take it with your car. And I did so. It was very big. I said, oh, so many clothes with you. It's too much. I didn't open, of course. I was curious, but I didn't open. But in the end, I gave him the big suitcase. He opened it. It was full of all New Yorkers. And I said, oh, what's happening now? Now I have the time to read. But actually, he didn't. He did sometimes read maybe one article or so, but I don't know.
We're all guilty of it though, aren't we?
Yes. He gives you a guilty complex because the newspaper says you have to be read, and the big mountain of newspapers or the mess in your room, newspaper here, newspaper there, says you are guilty because you don't read.
In your piece, you point out that a change of mind can occur by reading a newspaper, and in fact that the mindset of an entire generation can change. Yeah. What would be an example of that?
Maybe not reading a newspaper, but reading newspapers can change a whole generation. There were two big times for newspapers. The one time is before Second World War, in between the wars. Maybe it's different in England, but in Germany, also in Switzerland, there were so many. Newspaper was part of intellectual discourse, was part of public sphere, was so much into the new ideas that I thought, of course, without newspapers, they wouldn't be such a life, an intellectual life. And also in the movement of 1968, I thought so. These two big periods. And in this sense, I mean, can change your mind. Not that you read one article and say, oh, I must change my life. No, one article can give you a good feeling or an idea or something like this.
But being a reader can make you someone else.
Yes, of course. A reader, yes. A reader is a way of existence.
Now, you work in the press and people aren't always kind about what they say, yes, referring to journalists. And in fact, you write, the era of newspapers created a rather dubious breed of people.
Of course.
What do you mean by that?
Balzac wrote in his novel, Les Illusions Perdues, he wants to be part of the power. For that, he will sell your grandmother. And he wants to be also be both sides, part of the power and part of the intellectual world. But not in a good mixture. I'm also a bit of this type. This type is going through, not to the history of journalism in general, but what we call in Germany Feuilleton. Feuilleton means cultural journalism. They have education, they have knowledge, but only half knowledge, half education, because it doesn't matter. They want to repeat part of the power, part of the intellectual world. But they don't write like a writer. They don't go to the mountains and write a book in 2 years. And they want it now. They want it now. That's very important. This feeling of, I want it now. And that was Balzac wrote. It's part of modernism, but not the good part.
He writes about the process of writing, but not about the process of reading.
No, never. He never did. There's not one reader in his Les Illusions Perdues. There's not one reader. There are readers. The only readers are the journalists reading the critics of the other journalists, but not to learn, but to look what they did wrong.
Just staying with literature, modern literature, you write, isn't conceivable without the newspaper. What do you mean by that?
Most of the writers I concerned with were newspaper readers, passion. Not only Thomas Bernhard, also Peter Handke, you wouldn't believe, because he always said, no, newspaper is this kind of modernism I described before. I then had a conversation with him, and he confessed that he also was an addict to newspaper. That means he got his subjects out of the newspaper, But not only this, he had this kind of pseudo style. He noticed and then he said, I must finish reading newspaper, it destroys my style. And if you go through literary history, for example, of course, German writer called Heinrich von Kleist, who was connected with Berlin police chief to get police information and turned them quickly into stories, and out of the stories he made his plays. So zack, zack, zack. But if you go to Joyce, for example, he made the style out of the newspaper. In Ulysses.
Yeah.
Not only it's a story of newspaper, because the guy wants to give an ad to the newspaper, and the whole story is getting from home to the newspaper, but it's also in his form newspaper.
Mm-hmm. You talk about a newspaper will do anything not to insult its faithful readers. But of course, on the other hand, it has to attract new readers. And that's very difficult. And you're an editor. Obviously, this is something that you deal with all of the time.
Yes, you have to do compromises every day. Readers are paradox. They say, I want my world in the newspaper. But on the other hand, they say, no, I don't want my world. I want that you surprise me, you give me other meanings. But if you do other meanings, that means they're not in a good mood. They're getting aggressive, but getting aggressive means, in the earlier days, writing a letter. Nowadays, it means you go online. But this is paradoxical because it fixes the relation between reader and newspaper. Mm. So you live in this paradox.
But surely it also means that the paper is working. The very act of reading, the fact that you need to engage in that way is important.
It's important, but it's a big difference between the old newspaper reader who is engaged and who made up his mind. Maybe he writes down in the newspaper and fills the lines in between, but he couldn't get in touch immediately with public sphere. And for me, that's good. That's good. Because today you can go immediately in public sphere and, again, not having it all just in the moment means I must write a letter. I must go to the post office. It won't be printed the same day. Maybe in 1 week and so on and so on. Mm. That makes another person.
Do you think that newspapers have confidence in their readers?
No, they don't have. They don't have. What is a newspaper? Editors sometimes have, sometimes have not. Owners don't have. Ad people don't have. It's different, but the tendency is clear. The reader is some kind of child. You can't trust him. He's a bit stupid and so on and so on.
People seem to think that about local newspapers. Yes, there's some disdain for them.
Yes. They think about, and I mean, of course, these people exist. There are people who are a bit stupid, but not all. And even stupid people notice when you think that they are stupid, you understand? My favorite, I saw it when I studied the behavior of my parents reading the locals. They immediately noticed when an article makes things too simple.
Talking about local newspapers, you make the fantastic point that it takes a lot more bravery to be a local journalist rather than an international.
Everything, yes, of course. You have to offend people living next to you, sitting in the next to the major, etc., etc. It's a small world. It's a small world. And you don't get the big prizes, and you don't get all what you deserve for your work. I mean, in Germany we have still a lot, I don't know the situation in England, but in Germany you have still a lot of local papers and a lot of people trying to do their work. Means there's a scandal, I will write about it, no matter who wants to verhindern.
I wonder, kind of going back to what we were talking about the internet, what a local paper is for, because you don't need it now to know what time the shop opens or when the funeral is. Mm. Is it about a more visceral, emotional tie?
Of course, of course. I mean, to speak in general words, a newspaper is some kind of German word, Heimat. I don't know the English word, it's not Heimat. It's a place where you live, where you feel at home, etc., etc., but not a real place. It's a Heimat in the newspaper. And a newspaper, which is a local newspaper, is a newspaper about Heimat as a newspaper. So it doubles. And that's very important. And I guess if people don't get that feeling in the newspaper, they get it elsewhere. In the internet you get a lot of groups just posting pictures about their Heimat and so on and so on. But the newspaper is more of that. The newspaper is not only posting a picture of this great environment, but it's the story that makes the Heimat as really your life. That's what Thomas Pernath thought also, because he participated at his local newspaper as a letter writer, and that's this part of this Heimat feeling too. If I don't agree, I write a letter. So because it's my Heimat. So.
And of course, that reader-driven content is part of what sets newspapers apart from each other. But you point out that actually, with press agencies, newspapers are becoming, aside from reader content or exclusives, but becoming quite homogenized.
Yes, call it melancholy or tragedy, I don't know, of course, yes. Yeah. I mean, it's a sentimental book, you must admit. There are still these newspapers who are different. Still, newspapers I like exist. So,
we started talking about the ideal newspaper reader, but you also seem to be quite fascinated with people who might not appear to be newspaper readers.
Yes, that's really interesting, yes.
And I really want you to tell us the story of Joe Strummer.
It's part of everyday sociological behavior that you want to know what kind of guy is this, just because he wears some kind of clothes or he reads some newspaper. Clothes, everyone wears the same clothes, you can't. Newspaper, if you look to your mobile, you can't. So, Joe Strummer. I was a fan of him as a kid because he was a punk rocker, because he played with the Clash, and I didn't think of him as a newspaper reader, but as a a man making good music. Maybe the lyrics are a bit simple, but Sandinista is brilliant, it opens your mind, etc., etc. Many, many, many years later, sometimes I listen to what he did then with the Mescalinos or what they called, but I lost him a bit out of my mind. But then heard that he died. And I read somewhere that he died with a newspaper, and I wondered which newspaper this was, and it was The Observer. So that's the whole story.
But I love that, that you then go back to The Observer, look at the day he died,
yes,
see what was in the paper.
Yes.
I mean, that's quite extraordinary level of detail, isn't it? That just you can track back to almost what he was thinking on his deathbed.
Yes, I even thought, what article might he read when the heart attack came?
But you kind of tracked it down. You zeroed in on the thing he probably was reading. I forget what that was.
Yes, it maybe it was an article about the singer of Pulp. There was an interview with him in We Moved to Paris, and he said, oh, I know, I'm completely different. I don't need anymore this kind of rock and roll life and this. I'm a happy man. And I thought maybe he died in this moment when I read that Jarvis Cocker, his name, is a happy man. Maybe.
Just before we go, we are recording this with these incredible snowy mountains in front of us. We're sitting on a really sunny terrace outside Schloss Elmau. We've been at the Monocle Winter Weekender. It's the first time we've done something like this. You were one of the featured speakers. Just tell us what this experience was.
For me, it was brilliant. I go home with a lot of ideas, but they don't have anything to do with newspaper. I have new ideas about food, connecting people in difficult situations, saying the world is not good, but I try to change it. I want to go now home and go into a pub and talk to people, because the brilliant and simplest idea was just talking here. And of course, newspaper is not talking, it's reading.
Michael Angele, it was such a pleasure for me to talk to you. Thank you so much. You've been listening to Meet the Writers, thanks to the production team of George McDonough and Christy Evans. You can download this show and previous episodes from our website or app, from SoundCloud, Mixcloud, or iTunes. I'm Georgina Godwin. Thank you for listening.